Time doesn't heal all wounds. Time doesn't heal all wounds. God does. God does when we yield them to Him. And neither can time erase old relational debts. But forgiveness can. Forgiveness can. Debts can go on and on and on all through our lives, and we just hold on to them. They gather interest. Old wounds can stay alive in our subconscious memories until they are healed. Past painful relational events and the emotions that accompanied them can resurface in our lives. We don't know where they come from. We've forgotten, but they're there. They're in our lives. They don't go away. And then they resurface in our lives. And it hurts until the time when they're dealt with. Then they go away. The title of this message I've made is Duties, Debts, and Deliverance. So our text is about those duties, okay, in various relationships. But failure in our duties leads to debts. We create debts when we fail in the duties that we're supposed to have and supposed to do. All relationships need Christ's help, but failure in them needs His healing. And that's our sermon sentence, and I'll be repeating that once in a while. Relationships need Christ's help, but failure in them needs His healing. So first, let's look at how relationships bring duties with them. And verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This first relational obligation, we learn, is with parents. And Jesus helps us. And here's how He helps us in all these relationships, is always with follow me. Follow me. As a child, Jesus learned obedience to His parents. You know, He learned obedience to Mary and Joseph. It was after getting a bit ahead of God's timing for Him, and He was in Jerusalem at the temple. He stayed behind in the temple without their permission or without letting them know. It doesn't say it in the passage, but I think the Holy Spirit tapped on him and says, hey, cool it a little bit here. Slow down. And then it says in Luke 2:51 that He went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And we don't hear any more about Jesus doing anything like that or any kind of ministry. He was just soaking it in, not giving it out during that time until He was baptized by John. And then as a man, He obeyed God the Father, His Father, in all that He did and all that He said. His demonstration of parental honor, both as a child and as a man, was the foundation, or it was the basis of His follow me. So He could say, follow me. He offers us His help. And said, just follow me. I'm leading you in the way. And then there's the duty to be good parents in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So that's the duty that we have as parents. Jesus revealed the father's heart in Luke 18:16. But Jesus called the children to Him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Again, His example of godly parenthood, what godly parenthood should look like, was the basis of His follow me, follow my example. The listed duties of slaves and masters, that's what we have next in verses 5 through 8. These listed duties of slaves and masters are sort of out today. I mean, they're not. I mean, you could feel like, man, when I was in work, when I was doing my job, I felt like a slave. Well, you can feel that way. But really, it's all forms of work where there are is a hierarchy of obligation. You know, there's relational hierarchy, and it's like employees and employer, okay, or the CEO maybe at the top. Well, in verse 5 through 8, it lists the employee side of the relationship. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, do the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Now Jesus, he knew what life was like in the workforce. He was a carpenter for most of his life. We don't think about that very much, because we read the story of his ministry in the New Testament. For most of his life, he was a carpenter. It says in Mark 6:3, "Isn't this the carpenter?" They were saying, the people were saying, "We know him. He's the carpenter." Jesus exemplified integrity, worker integrity in his life before ever saying, "Follow me." But he did say, "Follow me." And he wants that to help workers, people who are workers in that kind of position. And then in verse 9 is the employer side of the relationship. "And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." But Jesus actually went beyond this. He went beyond this, actually serving his disciples. They were like his workers under him. And he was serving them. And he set an example for all relationships in this. In John 13:13-14. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." That goes for all relationships. I've had the privilege of being a pastor over many, many people who have come through Eschaton. LaRue Dalton was a precious lady, and I can remember LaRue telling us, "Oh yes, I was a nurse in Bloomington Hospital." I was born in Bloomington Hospital, Indiana. And she had been a nurse there. Oh my goodness. But not when I was there. Anyway, she came out here, couldn't transfer her license, and she went to beautician school. She ended up with how many? She was over 30 beauty salons that she had. When she retired, she gave those beauty salons to the managers, the respective managers of each. Now, wasn't that real kindness? I mean, that was a kind of a service back to them. I mean, wow, that was really washing their feet. But anyway, that I just thought of that in respect to being a good manager or being a good CEO, a boss. Well, God built a universe where all relationships come with duties. And Jesus showed us how to meet them, saying, "Follow me." He showed us how to meet them with love and with all the things that you in the New Testament you see him doing. Then he said, "Follow me." And this list that we have here, it grows in Scripture to include spouses and siblings and co-workers and neighbors and managers and officials with duties obligated in both directions. They're just not one direction. They're both directions. That's what we have in this passage. But failures in those duties bring us into debt. Debts are created toward parents or guardians by failing to honor them. One of the things I wanted to say about this passage, we say, well, you know, this passage is right, but it's more retrospective. I'm looking back over my life, and my parents are gone, and my kids are raised, and everything like that. But any debts that were created along the way are still there unless they've been forgiven. They're still there. They just don't go away. Time doesn't erase them. Time doesn't heal them. Only forgiveness heals them in the power of Christ. So debts are created toward parents by failing to honor them. And even if the parents were, they'd failed in their own responsibility. They had failed us, maybe. Mine didn't fail me, but if they had failed us, we still needed to honor them. Because that's the way the universe is built. It's right in the Ten Commandments. That's why it says, it'll be well with you if you honor your parents. Debts are created by failing to protect and nurture children. If they're not protected and nurtured, and all the things that we're supposed to do as parents that God requires of us, and we created a debt if we don't carry out those things. And it may have been years and years ago we just failed in that area. And then we just sort of brushed it under the rug and said, well, I'm not going to think about that. Well, your subconscious thinks about it all the time, and it comes out, it pops up. There's a family social debt implied in the old phrase. My dad used to say this all the time. He said, you don't pay for your keep until you've raised your own. What do you mean? I have to pay for my keep? I thought it was a free ride. No, you don't pay for your keep. You're indebted until you raise your own. And I would say, add to that, raise them properly. Raise them in the fear of the Lord. Debts are created by failure to do your best work for those before those over us. If we haven't done our best work for those over us, then we've created a debt. Even if they didn't seem to deserve it. Oh, those people, I don't like them, so I'm going to just not complete this part of the job or do a sloppy job or what. Here's what 1 Peter says in verse 18 of chapter 2. Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. It doesn't matter how they're behaving. That's not our job to correct them. That's God's job. So if we had people who were over us and they were really hard on us and we didn't do the best, we can know if we failed and we didn't do our best. We can know that by measuring our service by the standard in verse 5 of this passage, just as you would obey Christ, or also within that passage, to do it as if you were serving the Lord. That's the standard, as if you were serving the Lord. Well, debts are also created by failing to treat those who are under us fairly. If we've treated them unfairly, it can have a ripple effect that affects an entire work environment. Just from that one incident where we didn't treat the worker fairly or whatever it was who was under us, the subordinate, and it just has a bad effect on the whole place. Debts created by failure in relational duties, they affect marriages, they affect families, they affect places of work, neighborhoods, churches, and it's usually self-centeredness that is behind these debts. In the creation of these debts, it's usually I focus that's not really the wider picture that God has. It's a focus upon my needs first, then others' needs, and maybe not even others' needs. I just don't care about what happens to them. No, self-centeredness is usually the thing. That's why one of these things said, "Give up all of our pride." It was in one of the songs. The idea of self-centered self and pride. Those are the things that create these debts. Self-centeredness is behind them, but the solution... Now, this is our personal thing. If we have indebtedness, if deep in our subconscious or other part of our memories that we push down, but maybe God will search us, search our hearts, see if there be some wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, quoted from the Psalms. But here's the solution for that, is to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, some people grow up in churches where that is the way you pray the Lord's Prayer. And it is actually the literal translation. But there's a reason why it was moved to have the word trespasses, because Jesus used it in a comment later. So they just moved it up into debts. But it's important, I think, for us to understand that. I never understood the idea of debts and debtors. You know, I thought, well, you loan money out, and why don't we forgive our money and just don't let them pay it back? I don't like this. Well, this is what I'm thinking about these debts. These are debts that are created by duties not fulfilled. We can pray that. That is really the way to handle this, is to continually pray that prayer. And that's why we pray it so often. We pray it every Sunday. You can pray it more often than that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the last part of that prayer is the hard part. Have we forgiven all of our debtors? All of these debts that we're holding against them because they did this to us. Can we pray that prayer honestly? Well, forgiveness of debts, if we want it. Forgiveness of debts begins the healing of relationships. Now, again, some of the people that we have debts with on both directions, they're not around anymore. That doesn't matter. In God's economy, they are around. They are around, whether they're in the afterlife or they're here on the planet. Or if they're far, far away from us, that doesn't matter. In God's economy, they're here. And so we need to begin this forgiveness process. And you might say, how can I know that there are others indebted to me? Well, here's the thing that we can ask ourselves. Do we often go over and over in our minds the hurts we've received from someone? I mean, it's so long ago. I mean, just so long ago. But here we are thinking about it again and actually feeling the emotions that we felt at that time. And we say, but it's all in the past. Oh, you know, it's water under the bridge. Is it? If it comes back to us again and again. Well, that's just one way we can know that there are people that are indebted to us. And if we just say, where are these relationships? I haven't seen my cousin for 20 years because of that night when she or he said this or that, and we had a row, and that we said, I'm never going to speak to them again. Do we have any broken relationships that haven't been healed? You have to think about that. And we have to think about it sometimes with a lot of help from the Holy Spirit, because we have such a good way of putting on fig leaves. We have such a good way of hiding behind bushes when God is walking through our lives. And we don't want to be seen for what we've done. Yeah, we want to hide. We have excuses. We want to bury it. We want to let, my wonderful subconscious, it just represses everything I don't like. You know, it just keeps it down there. Oh boy, but it does not do good. And this is what psychology teaches. It does not do good to keep those things down there. They got to come out. They got to be dealt with. And then you can go on in life. You got to get over them. So unforgiveness, when we just don't, I'm not going to forgive that situation. I'm not going to forget that debtor. Unforgiveness leaves no room for receiving God's forgiveness. This is not God being sort of hard on us or anything like that. No, this just is the way things are in the reality of the spiritual realm. Unforgiveness leaves no room for receiving God's forgiveness. Jesus made only one commentary on the prayer that he taught us, the Lord's Prayer. He made only one commentary on it. And this is it in Matthew 16, 14 through 15. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. For if you forgive men their trespasses, that's why we have the word trespasses, okay, in the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh boy, that's an oucher. Ouch, ouch, that hurts when we think about it. We want our debts forgiven. We want our trespasses forgiven. We want our debts erased. But we need to erase our debtors' trespasses against us. And this is the part that it comes down to, are we going to do God's will? So how can we forgive those who've hurt us, especially like they're no longer in our lives, they're dead, they're moved away, we've lost contact with them? All we have to do is to pray as Jesus prayed to his Father on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We say, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. That's what we need to pray, just like Jesus did. Because even without hearing him, God forgave them. He answered Jesus' prayer. God forgave them. Because that's what Jesus didn't pray any prayers that weren't answered. They are answered prayers, even without hearing. So they may be dead. They may be in the afterlife. And they may hear us more than we know in the afterlife if we prayed a prayer like that. But relationships, as we've just seen in this passage, relationships need Christ's help. We need Christ's help in relationships. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to do our obligations. But failure in them, now we need His healing. And if that was way back in time, we need His healing still. Jesus helps us prevent debt accumulation. How does He do that? He prevents us from having debt accumulation through Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. That works in all relationships. That covers all relationships. But if we fail to love and hurt someone or hurt others, or others have failed us and hurt us, the debts created can be carried for a lifetime, gaining destructive interest until forgiven. So as we close, I want to do something we don't often do in this church, but I want to do this. I want us to pause in silent prayer and ask God personally, quietly, in your own hearts, to put His finger on any debts that we've accrued and any that we've held against others in our mental accounting book. And maybe we'll have to also in that ask the Lord to search our hearts, because sometimes we stuff them down so far in the back pages of our accounting book that we don't see them. So do that. Let's do that now, asking God to search our hearts for those debts. And now let's release our debtors. Let's release our debtors as we ask God to release us from any debts that He's pointed out in our lives. Amen. This little process that we went through is not meant to be a one-time deal. That's why we sort of rushed through it, but we have to, time-wise, we've over time. But I'm going to say, we need to do this. And you know how we can do this, how we can keep on doing it? That is to keep on praying the prayer, honestly praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father God, thank you for this message that's beyond just the passage in Ephesians. It's a message of your love, and it's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of how things are created that are become debts that we have to deal with and debtors we need to forgive. I pray, Father God, that you will help us at every time we pray the Lord's Prayer to remember, Lord, that we are asking you to forgive us as we have forgiven others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.